hold on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. This is Kenny Haas, co-producer of Haas to Haas podcast. And as always, I've got my right hand, my motivation, my big brother, Messenger Ron Dyer. How you feeling tonight, brother Messenger?
Bless, my brother, bless. How about you?
You know, I can't get no better. In fact, if it got any better, I would get just a little nervous. Last night we left off. And you mentioned something about, was it Thomas?
Yes.
Pick me up where we were left off last night on Thomas, and we're just gonna go right into the lesson from there.
What we were referring to is just alerting people to the fact that there were more scribes that was written other than the ones that were placed in the Bible. And that's being brought up just so that people can understand when we say the things that we say about the Bible, it's not to totally discredit it, because it's not to be discredited, but it's to be read with divine guidance from the Spirit so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. And so I mentioned that there was another disciple of Jesus by the name of Thomas, who was a little bit more on Jesus' level than the other disciples. And he wrote, and some of his writing is the same as Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the same, but he's injected some other stuff into it that appears to have been taken out of some of Mark's writings or Matthew, all of their writings. There's a little bit of it's been taken out. Only for what reason, I would have to say because of King James and the Council of Laodicea, as they put together this Bible, there were certain things that they were doing in order just to keep people in control and to go with the theme. And one of the things that Thomas in his book was writing was just letting us know how Jesus was, as I've said to listeners so many different times, that Jesus was trying to show us that when he said, "I am the light, the way," it's because of what it was that he was trying to show us. Because we're in darkness when we're just following behind certain things and they're not the true idea of what it was that Jesus was saying to us. And Jesus was trying to tell us, and Brother Thomas confirms it, that we are all one, that we are all part of God. We just have to see that light inside of us so that we can begin to glow. Let our light so shine so that they may see the good work in us and glorify the Father. Because it is nothing, quote unquote, so good that we're doing. It's the Father in us. That work is what needs to be glorified. And we have to understand that that work that needs to be glorified is a host of things. It's not just the standard, quote-unquote, religious things. You putting a smile on somebody's face is the Father being glorified. And we all are witnesses to how when we could just speak a kind word to someone, how it has the tendency to brighten up their day. And I go back to something that we've said to each other on numerous occasions. This way is simple. It is easy, and once again, that a fool cannot err. We make it hard because of what we want it to be, and it's just not so. We're putting extra pressure and extra things on us that was not intended by God.
And you know, Brother Messenger, when we say how simple and how easy the way is, after hundreds and thousands of years of not understanding the way, in order for somebody to grasp the way and walk that way right now, yes, it will be somewhat difficult because the number of people who are understanding the true way are so few in numbers that you're going to get beaten down in the process of trying to put this word out.
And not only that, my brother, you are correct about that, but not only that, but one of the things is we've got to understand that we've been trained a certain way. So it becomes a little hard, and I must confess for myself at times as well. It becomes a little hard, and it's something that you've got to retrain your mind. You've got to retrain your mind to think in a different way. And when you retrain your mind to think in a more positive way because of who you are and understand that all things are working for the good, then those things that we call bad, we won't call them bad so quickly. We'll understand that it's working for our good and we'll be able to see the good in it. But because we automatically condemn something to be right or wrong or bad or good, we've already allowed the negative aspect to sink in. And we as who we are, once we come to understand who we are, we have to truly understand and believe. No weapon formed against you can prosper, and that all things are working for the good. All things. And when you and if you're not sure what I'm saying, look up the definition of all and see what that means. You got to understand you just can't pick and choose when you're dealing with God. God has made it clear, and we've got to understand that.
It's so funny when you say look up about the word all, and I'm sure everybody actually knows the meaning of that word. But, you know, I'm still in the military, and I'm going in and out of bases. And we have, it's depending on what level of security we're at, 50%, 100%, everybody's getting ID checked and password verified. So I come out of this base, and this one day, we're running short missions about 8 times. Every single time, the same guard is there, and every single time, he asked me for my identification and then make sure I know the password. And then finally, the 8th time this happened, I said to him, are you serious? You've been here all day, and I'm coming back and forth all day. Why did you take me through this every time? And the old man looked at me, and he said, listen, Sergeant, my instructions were 100% ID check. That means I'm checking every ID all day long. It doesn't matter if you come here 5 times or 5,000 times. Every time you come through this gate, I'm going to check your ID and make sure you know the password. And it's so funny that when you say that, because that's what all means. That's what 100%
means. That's correct.
That's what all the
time
means. It doesn't mean we do it till we get comfortable, then you get a pass. It was just funny when you said all the time, and that story just came to mind.
So that lets us know that that's a good example to let us know that we can do it. We've just got to train our minds to do it. We can do it. And we got to understand what is – well, all of this that I'm saying, you won't really grasp it until you start beginning to try to grasp who you really are. As long as you're sitting there thinking, first of all, that you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, you won't be able to see the light because you're thinking so much less of yourself than what you really are. And so what we've got to start understanding is who we are and whose we are, who we are and who we belong to. Once we start to begin to understand that, then we can start to see that light at the end of the tunnel. But as long as we keep our minds closed to the fact of who we are, Why would a God so great, so magnificent, so powerful, born his beloved children into sin? Why would he do that? Why would he create something?
It's so funny because most people, and it's sad. It is sad, but it shows the level of conditioning. It is easy for them to believe and accept that you are born into sin, whatever sin may be. You are born into not being right. And the only way for you to get right is you have to get baptized, accept Jesus in you. Now, that's a concept that everybody in the world can hold on to if you are organized religion Christian, for lack of a better phraseology. But if I tell you you're not born into sin, you're born with the gift of God already inside of you. All you have to do is tap into it and go on about your business. That seems like we are crazy.
And isn't that much simpler, though? But
hold on.
Part of the problem is because of the fact that we think that we are less, and we think that God is like us, whereas we might get mad at somebody for doing something. God doesn't get mad at you for doing something because he gave this world to you to do as you so see fit. So if you chose to do this, he's not getting mad at you. He still loves you. There is nothing you can do to make him not love you. Nothing. Because for him to not love you means that he does not love himself. And we've got to understand that. Now, and I'll clear this up because, once again, it's easy to get misconstrued and stuff. But now, you're free to do as you please, but as we've stated on numerous occasions, there are certain consequences with certain things that you do. But it's not God being mad at you. It's just the consequence because you did something that you wanted to do, but you shouldn't have done. And this is what we have to understand. And that same thing that you did that didn't work out for you, it can work out for somebody else. It's just not wasn't for you. But we're too busy thinking that this great loving God created something and put us in some kind of situation where technically we can't win. Why would he even start us off like that? And then have the choice to say he gave us free will, but if you don't do what he wants you to do, then you're going to hell. Is that really free will?
See, I believe that the whole concept or ideological, the whole concept behind free will is you have free will to live your life however you see fit to live it. Because when it's all said and done, I'm taking back what belongs to me. To me, that's what free will is.
That's free will. You can do whatever you want because, as you just stated, in the final analysis, you can only return to one place, and that's with the Father. And if we can understand that, then we can move on with our lives and experience it in a much better state of mind. But because we're so negative about any and everything that we do, that we can't see the good in all of this that God has given us and that he's doing each and every day. And when I say he's doing it with you, me, and all the other people out here that we don't even understand. He's doing good with that person that we call homeless. He's doing good. You want to know the good in that? Is when you look at it, you want to give him praise because that's not a situation that you want to be in. So you're giving him praise, thanking him that you were able to steer from that path. But then I say to you, don't look down on that person that's homeless. Because you got to understand this, Jesus didn't have a home per se. So it's not that bad. It's just it's not something that we want. So once again, don't judge it. Don't judge it.
That is so true. We look at houses, mansions, and things of this type. But again, my brother Jesus, when he walked the face of the earth, you're right, he didn't have a home. It's not like everywhere he went, there was a mansion there waiting for him. He went, he stayed, he delivered the word from his Father, and he kept moving.
And everything that he needed was provided to him. And that same provision that God made for Jesus, he has for us as well. We just have to live in it. And this is why yesterday we spoke regarding money. Money, once again, is a beautiful thing. But it is not needed to survive. Whether you got a dime or not, you're still going to survive. It's just all up. How you want to survive, but you're going to survive because God is with you.
So Jesus, and again, and those provisions, as per his word, when he spoke to the ministers or the preachers or whatever, he gave them, again, very specific instructions on what to do. See, nobody want to talk about that part of the Bible. And again,
right.
If we look at, and a lot of people say, okay, Brother Ken and Brother Messenger, you just picking and choosing. Well, that's what we're all doing, picking and choosing. But what I'm trying to pick for you is to pick for you the fruit so that you don't have to eat the bad part of the lesson or the knowledge. And he said to the ministers, when you go, don't stay long. Don't take a lot of stuff with you. There are very specific instructions. None of which are followed anymore by your ministries now, because today's ministry is, okay, I know what the Bible says, but let me build this massive edifice over here so that the community will know who I am.
And you are so correct. And yeah, they like to say that we're picking and choosing, but what we're really doing is just taking examples out of the everyday Christian, Muslim, Judea, all of these different religions, just taking different little pieces out to show you how we are interpreting the Word of God the wrong way. And I'll say this to you as well. You do not have to be a Bible scholar. All you need is the Spirit to reveal this to you.
When I was just getting ready to interrupt, brother, just to show you how we are so connected, I was just getting ready to interrupt and say, I bet you this would blow people's minds if I told them you don't even have to ever pick the Bible up and you're still going to heaven. And if you, but again,
that's right.
Something yearns inside of you that's going to guide and direct you if you tap into it, and you really don't need the Bible, because the Bible is a book of tales. A book of stories. It is not, as people like to think, the inestimable gift of from God to man. No, because this has been tampered with and played with so much that I am convinced. Again, my training, my upbringing has me reading the Bible. But I'm convinced that you can be a wonderful human being and never pick this book up, because this book will get you mixed up.
Why do you need the book to tell you what God says when you have God right in you that will tell you any and everything you want to know? Any and everything. And you are correct as far as it being writings. It's just writings that's handed down over the years. Do you realize that the books of God, the books of Jesus' writing, of the prophets, of the disciples' writings and stuff, do you realize they was written 300 years after he had left? 300 years after he had left. And we're going to base total accuracy on that when you can just go to him yourself and he can give it to you right now?
But see, that whole concept of going directly to God for guidance, that's a concept that, again, every Saturday, Sunday, Thursday night, and hopefully additional podcasts in the future, that we're going to continue to, it's going to be like a literary motif. You're going to hear that over and over and over again from the messenger ministry, because that's all that is needed. All this getting your fancy suits, your fancy cars, all the high, I mean, all that's nowhere needed. That's not even close to being what I believe God wants us to have. Now, again, he wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. But, again, that does not, to me, include every Sunday, Thursday, Friday night you have to be in the church. You have to read this Bible page to page so you can't read. So you've already wiped all the ink out of the pages. That is what I call cultural conditioning, for lack of a better word. Because the Bible, throughout time, is the number one selling book ever. And when you sell that many or you publish that many, people tend to believe, well, if it's that many being written or published, it's got to be real. But I say to anybody who truly wants to know God for themselves, you do not need one stitch of writing in that book you refer to as the Holy Bible. And that's not to say
you do not.
And that's not to say it's not good reading. Anytime you educate yourself on the reading that Bible is just like reading a science fiction or reading a novel. It's going to give you education and enlighten you on some things, but what it enlightens you on is not how to get to God.
No, once again, I'll say this to you again. We're so busy trying to learn how to get to God when he's already there. What did he say? Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He's with us. We're trying to get where he's at, and he's already here. He is in us. And everybody that might want to criticize what it is that we're saying to you, know without a doubt that he has spoken to them. Now, whether they listen or not, that's a different story. But he's speaking to them. And when he speaks to them, it's not like he just opened up the sky. It's not like he cut a microphone on. It was right inside us that we heard the voice. Now, the question to us is, are we going to hear the voice, listen to the voice, and be obedient to it?
And sometimes
Jesus said, that faith the size of a mustard seed, you can have a mountain to be moved. You, he said. He didn't say he'll move it. He said if you have the faith, you can move it. The faith to know who you are.
And you know, again, it no matter how simple the way may be or how easy God has prepared this for us. And again, and it's sometimes when you stop and think about how easy it really is, when you hear us say, you don't have to do anything, that in itself is mind-blowing, because I've been conditioned so long that I've got to be on the mourning bench. I got to pray and cry and have snot running out of my nose because I've labored so long for God to come. And again, when I come from that to, you don't have to do any of that. And guess what? He's still inside of you. He's going to take you to heaven.
If God leaves from you, does anybody know what happens to you?
No.
God removes his spirit from you, what happens to you?
Well, then that means you are no more.
You are no more. And if God places his spirit back in you, you are what? Alive again.
Alive and kicking.
So, who are you? If he take it, you're dead, and if he give it to you, you're alive. Who are you?
You are the son of a living, all-powerful creator. In our case, or a daughter. But those are the only two choices you have. You are either a son or you are a daughter. There are no aunts and uncles.
This is correct.
Sorry,
we are all part of the vine. And one of the things I'll say to you, and I understand the terminology that you're using, due to our concept of it and stuff of that nature. But we're not sons and daughters. We are God. It is His Spirit that's within us. Now, I understand the terminology of sons and daughter because of the vocabulary that we use, but let's break it down. It is God's Spirit that keeps us alive, and it is God's Spirit that when it leaves, we die. So who are we? We are God in the flesh, and God wants us to act like God, the God that we are. Go out and create and be the best that you can be. This is why He gave you free will. This is why He gave you the power and the authority to do all of this stuff. Because this is what He wants you to be. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's easy for us to accept the fact that we the devil and this and that, instead of understanding we're not the devil, we are part of God. I just don't know how to say it any more simpler for people to understand. I know because of our training and stuff, we seem to take that as blasphemy or whatever you want to call it. You want to take it as that, but let's look at what God has told us. Not what somebody else has said, but what you have read and then went to your quiet place and asked God to reveal stuff to you. Because you can't teach somebody something if they already think they know.
That's for sure.
And because you think you already know, and you've tried this way so many times, and it hasn't gotten you to where you really want to be, doesn't that mean the opportunity for something different could work?
Or at least worthy of a try.
Of a try.
Yeah, that's it.
Of a try.
You've tried, Chris, you've tried this organized religion. You've tried dedicating your money to the church, your time to the church. All I'm saying is try something else. And if you don't like the true religion, the true connection to God, then you can go back to what you came from. But I would say it's worthy of a try. It can't hurt you because the concept that we speak of is still about men loving men. And when I say men, that's men, woman, human beings, loving human beings and taking care of human beings, helping every human being to understand his dominion over everything around us, his dominion over the earth. And when I say his is feminine, him and her.
But see, here's another thing that we got wrong. Because He has given us dominion, what did we take it to mean? We took it to mean dominance instead of dominion. We took it to mean that we got to go out and conquer and destroy everything. He just gave us rule over it. That don't mean we got to go out just killing unnecessarily because He gave me dominion. I can kill that elephant. Why? Thou shalt not kill. Now, there is provision so that one can eat, but you do not kill unnecessary just for the joy of it. That's going against what it is that God wants from us. But we take dominion.
Go ahead. Before we go too deep, we had about a minute left on this podcast. So let's wrap it up and bring it on home.
2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Hey, on that note, my brother, I say again, it's always a pleasure to share the word with you. And again, I hope that even though, again, I see that the listeners on the Messengers podcast, we are definitely increasing. But I would like for people to start to call in. But even if you don't call in, just listen. And when you listen, just take heed to some of what we're trying to convey to you. And again, it's not getting you to do anything but love yourself and allow God that's in you to work through you. Brother Messenger, that's always a beautiful thing. And, I can't wait till Thursday night.
Amen.
All right, my brother. You have a good day, and I'll talk to you later. I love you, brother.
Bless. Love you, bro.